Federal investigators are calling Saturday's hostage taking at a Texas synagogue a terrorism-related attack. They are now trying to learn more about the 44-year-old British national who kept a rabbi and three congregants captive for nearly 11 hours. That attack played out live online as community members watched in horror. That's because the Beth Israel Temple in Colleyville, Texas, like many congregations, streams its services online. The gunman was eventually killed by law enforcement agents.
The standoff is the latest high-profile attack targeting Jewish people, which includes the Tree of Life Synagogue attack in Pittsburgh in 2018, where 11 people were killed, and other attacks like the arson at Austin's Beth Israel Synagogue, which carries a lower profile but also is just as traumatic, says Beth Israel's Rabbi Stephen Fulberg. Let's bring him into the conversation. Rabbi Fulberg, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We know it's been a difficult time for your congregation. In the case of your synagogue, you were just considering bringing back congregants in the fall when much of your building was destroyed by arson. I want to talk with you about that. But first, tell us what was going through your mind when you heard about the situation in Colleyville.
Well, I have to say that I am speaking to you, Tanya, having just watched an interview with Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker, the rabbi in Colleyville. I'm pretty shaken by it. As far as the immediate situation, I started getting texts from people as this was unfolding. And although we are in Austin and he's in the Fort Worth area, the Texas Jewish community is pretty tight, pretty close-knit. He's also someone who every summer spends time as a visiting rabbi at our regional summer camp. So a lot of our kids know him and know his kids. It was very personal. It was very personal. Mm-hmm. People were extremely anxious and upset, you know, trying not to think the unthinkable. But as this was unfolding hour after hour, you couldn't help but think the unthinkable. So it was a really dreadful day. To be in that state of fight or flight and fear for 11 hours, I can't even fathom it.
Yeah. Before this incident, there was a sense of unease. Can you describe what it's been like to head a Jewish community in recent years? As the Anti-Defamation League is reporting, historically high levels of anti-Semitic incidents.
Right. My high school kids at the Temple and teaching those guys, my 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, is one of my responsibilities, and it's one of my favorite responsibilities. And I've said to people over and over again that I never thought that in the course of my career that I would be speaking to those high school kids about violent anti-Semitism in the United States in the present tense, that it was always going to be about the Spanish Inquisition or Ukraine in the 1500s or what the Nazis did. It wasn't going to be about this. So although the increasing acceptability of hateful rhetoric about Jews, about other minorities, although you saw that happening, that it would actually bear fruit in this kind of violence, you know, was something that I really didn't think, you know, my mind didn't go there. But this is, you know, you have to have your eyes open. This is real.
Rabbi, with all of this in mind, I know you brought in trauma counselors after the arson that seriously damaged your synagogue. What do you say to your congregants and to others who feel that it's no longer safe to attend services or Jewish festivals or events, or might decide not to wear clothing or jewelry that might highlight their faith?
Right. So one of the things that I've learned over the years is that someone's sense of their own personal safety or danger is not something that's open to debate. They feel the way they feel. I was in conversations years ago about synagogue security. There was some kind of skinhead or white supremacist who fired shots into a Jewish community center in Northern California. And that was when a lot of synagogues really first started saying, well, do we need, what kind of security do we need, and so on. And some people thought that worrying about that was alarmist, and some people didn't. And, you know, through hard experience, I learned that you can't lecture somebody about whether they're safe or not. The Sunday night, Halloween, when this fella tried to burn our synagogue down, that was supposed to have been our first in-person and streamed service in the synagogue, in the sanctuary, since, I don't know, August. And so that was snatched away from us. I couldn't even tell you when we're going to be able to use that again. Anyway, the point of all this was that we were trying to figure out what to do, and we figured out how to jerry-rig a streaming setup in the parking lot of the Temple Preschool, and we told people, bring lawn chairs and bring blankets, and we're going to have services in the parking lot. Sort of this act of spiritual resistance, in this nonviolent resistance kind of way, we were saying, no, we're just not going to be shut down. And the turnout was tremendous, and people from the neighborhood came. You know, on the one hand, we will take the precautions that we need to take to be safe. On the other hand, you have to find ways to move forward and to resist. You can't let the hatred win out.
That's Rabbi Stephen Fulberg of Beth Israel in Austin, Texas. Rabbi Fulberg, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.